Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Going from writing songs and recording albums to creating a musical is a giant step for any musician. Cale Crow made the leap. As a result, the world premiere of Res Gas is taking place on August 22nd at the Capitol Theatre in Port Hope. This story is about Destin, who moves away from his reserve to chase a music career. Then, after experiencing car trouble while filling up for gas, he encounters old friends, lovers, and family. It leaves him reflecting on his past and his place in the community. On today's show, Cale Crow will talk about his artistic journey towards creating Res Gas, sharing his thoughts and personal reflections on the process, the final product, and his own growth. I'm so pleased to have with me local musician Cale Crow. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks so much for having me.
The last time we spoke, it was July 2020. Stage 3 reopening from the lockdown during COVID was taking place. What was it like those first few years getting back into your career as a musician?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like the whole COVID lockdown thing, going in and out of lockdowns and seeing how everything was handled, and it kind of gave me a moment to sort of reshuffle my priorities, get some new perspective. And frankly, it made me question a lot, because, you know, at the time we didn't know how long any of this was going to last, if this was going to be completely the new norm, if anything was going to come back at all in the same way or any meaningful way. So for me personally, it was a moment where I really had to take a second and reflect on my values and my aspirations, and whether or not they were even still valid or even still what I wanted. And so for me, I think to be this, you know, to have it this far behind us, obviously COVID is still around, but to have the lockdowns and that sort of thing this far behind us, aside from wondering some days if it even happened, you know, I think it's also really nice to have that added perspective of, like, you know, time is short and not everything is guaranteed, and you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained, and all that sort of thing. So
how's that impacted your music then?
I think I'm a little bit more efficient now, you know, at making music. Like I took the time during lockdown to really you know, a lot of the time, passing the time during lockdown, I was just, you know, educating myself just for the sake of killing the time, you know. So I learned a lot about DIY recording and you know, I did a little bit of music theory during that time, and I really, you know, tried to hone in on certain things that I felt weak at the time. And so for me now, I think it's honestly, I go into a writing process with much more direction than I used to. And that was really evident in creating this show, was that every time I sat down to work on it, it wasn't just I wonder what sort of thing will pop into my head. It was, I've been spending the time thinking about this. I've been really dedicating myself to actually, you know, trying to put my best foot forward every time I put pen to paper. So
before we talk about the musical, you appear to be very busy performing. Obviously, it's great to be booked so heavily, but what has it meant for you going beyond a steady gig?
Yeah, I mean, when I before COVID, I set out to be trying to perform every single night of the year at one point, which out this way in this part of the world isn't very easy. But for me, in 2025, it's like I definitely have been privileged with a demand that means that I can be, a little choosier with my gigs. Like I'm not necessarily playing to places where I know I'm only going to be playing to the bartender. And being able to also schedule my time around when certain things are happening. And being this year, I was booked maybe 10 months in advance. For most of the year, which was pretty incredible, when you consider that the very first year that I ever decided to do music for a living, I think I only had like eight shows that entire year, and only some of them were paid. So it was very it's been very very, I have this, like I said, this incredible privilege now where I can have so much of my year set in stone and then not be, not get to that point and wonder how I'm going to pay the bills the next month or how I'm going to make that car repair happen or anything like that. So I'm really blessed to be at this place now where I can have this foundation upon which I can now say, like, let's try new creative things and let's take some more risks.
How's that impacted your music?
Well, I'm a lot better at after having created the musical, I feel a lot more confident now in determining exactly what I want in a piece of music. Like before the whole process of creating the musical, I definitely walked into my recording sessions, like I said before, it being kind of like, well, I don't know what I want, but I know what I don't want. And this time around, when I go to write new stuff, it's been much more of the, I might not always know what I want right off the hop, but I know the direction to take. Or I know the influences, and I know sort of the more structures of things where before, again, it was just kind of lofty, floaty, la la la, creative flow, just whatever happens, happens. Whereas now it's like, no, I know how to parcel out my thinking where, in my day to day, I'm able to have this constant in the back of my mind that's like, these are the things that I'm thinking about while I'm doing dishes, while while I'm driving, while I'm whatever it is. And I'm able to listen in for those inspirations rather than just kind of hoping they fall into my lap sort of thing.
It sounds like you're a little more disciplined, a little more structured.
Absolutely. I think the whole process of creating this show has made me realize the value of a deadline, whereas I used to just dread anything that meant that I had some sort of limit on it. And growing up, when I decided to do this, I always thought that oh, if you're your own boss, you decide when things need to be. And it's like, well, no, you still need that discipline, because otherwise, like in my case, there are certain things, especially about the musical, that I never would have finished. I would have just hoped for all my days that the right thing would just happen upon me, just in broad daylight. So,
Has having a family made a difference to you, having a child?
1,000,000%. I think, the in the beginning, being a first-time parent, it was like, you are kind of thrown into the trenches, and any parent will tell you that. But then now, he's coming up on 3.5 years old. We've got routine, we've got structure, we've got tastes, we've got preferences for things. We've, he has his own little personality, and so, And I think that having that structure and also those priorities, definitely having the time where it's like, I really need to be focusing on making sure that the musical is going well, or I really need to have this time to write for this new song or this new collection of songs. But then it's like, okay, but come 5, 6 o'clock, it's like we can shut all that down. And if I don't get this time with my son or with my family, then I'm not going to be the whole person that I need to be to do those other things, and vice versa. Like if I'm not given the time inversely to work on something, I'm not going to be the whole person that I need to be when I do have that time with family.
Let's talk about the musical. Friday, August 22nd is the world premiere of Res Gas, created by yourself and Genevieve Adams. It's being performed at the Capitol Theater in Port Hope. Can you tell us the storyline of the musical?
Yeah, so the main basically the story of the musical is that our character, our main character Destin, he finds himself having trouble starting his vehicle at the pump, and he finds himself stuck in this place, that happens to be the First Nations reserve that he grew up on. And the show takes place over a single day and features interactions between him and best friends he hasn't spoken to in a long time, former lovers, community mem like elders, community members of that nature. And it's a story about reconciling with your past in order to transition in a good way into the future. And it's also a story about it's a story sort of that sort of fell into my lap in a very transitional period of my own life, when I was approached to work on it. My son was less than a whole year old at the time, and I was just finally feeling confident in like getting into that. And then this opportunity fell into my lap, and I just kind of decided, why not? Let's throw a wrench into all of that. So, so it does kind of reflect a little bit in my life. The music is a fusion of almost all of my taste, especially during my formative years. It's primarily rooted in pop and rap, but it's also got elements of country and metal. And I think overall, it's gonna have a little something for everyone. So,
What would motivate you to go from writing songs and albums to suddenly taking on a really complex project like writing a musical?
I have limited theatrical experience. I took theater in all of my time in high school. I was in a couple community projects with Northumberland Players back in the early 2010s. And so theater isn't necessarily completely foreign to me, but it's definitely one of those things where when I was asked to be a part of this project, I said to Rob Kempson, the artistic director at the Capitol Theater, like, this is a muscle that has gone unused for so long. I'd be surprised if it's still there. But he had the utmost amount of confidence in me and my songwriting ability and my vision for my own music, I think. And so it does feel very much like when we get to the end of this project, like the songs of Razgas do still feel very much like they exist within my personal discography, in a very weird way that I wasn't actually expecting. So but in terms of the theater, like I've always been a huge lover of theater, and especially the live element of it, the 3 dimensions of being in the room with people, and that has always been something that translates from, like it, I do love recording music and I love writing songs, but nothing not no part of my career beats being in the room with people and feeling that physical connection and that community. So
What's it like to be asked compared to being motivated on your own? You've mentioned now a couple of times that you were asked to do this. Can you tell us a little bit about that process and what it meant to you as an artist compared to, say, you waking up one morning and going, you know what, I'd really like to do a musical?
Yeah, so the whole show came about because Rob Kempson had approached me and
just
invited.
Quickly, before you go too far, who is Rob Kempson? Just for people who don't know.
Rob Kempson is the artistic director at the Cameco Capital Arts Center, where we're putting on the show. And he approached me over the phone in sort of late fall, early winter of 2022. And he told me that he was starting this creative endeavor called the Capital Theater Creators Unit. And how it works is you get multiple creatives from different, loosely related disciplines. So theater, interpretive dance, you could put on a puppet show, it doesn't matter. And you get them together and they're all creating separate projects, but they're all relying on each other for creative input. And so his ask for me was to come in, create this musical, and every month or 2 months we would all get together, we would share how, you know, any progress that we had made up until that point, and you know, the other creatives in the room would give feedback, they'd ask questions, they'd suggest things, they would invite different thought experiments into your work, and then we would all go away, work on it, and come back and rinse and repeat. This was all to culminate in a fully public, free to attend reading that happened here at the theater at the end of 2023. And when we got to that reading, the script was mostly done and less than half of the songs were finished. But the idea was that you would just go in, the audience gets to give their feedback, and then that would be the end of the creators unit. And then you could go away and do whatever you wanted with that project. So some of the people that were doing this, they've been maybe working on their projects for years, whereas others, like my own, started in that creators unit. So when it ended, I definitely had that thought of like, oh, okay, that's the back cover of the book. I get to close the book and put away that chapter of my life, and I get to move on back to whatever I was doing before. And that's when about a week or two later, Rob called me again and said, hey, so we kind of want to put this on for real and properly mount this. And then I was like, why not? Let's go down this path. So, just the idea of it being, you know, from meeting Rob by chance, like on one of the first nights that he worked in this theater, to him inviting me to do this, knowing that I had never done it before, to then putting it on this stage where so many incredible shows that I've seen have been put on. That's been the biggest lesson, I think, has been just don't turn it down, you know?
When you were talking, you mentioned quite a number of genres. How do you make those work together?
Honestly, at the end of the day, I think being in music for as long as I have and being open to different sounds and different genres and different messages, like ultimately the genre in my mind is the material out of which the bottle is made. And in my mind, music is all about the drink on the inside, you know, like I think, if I'm going to go down this metaphor, it's like some bottles are made of plastic, some bottles are made of glass, some bottles are made of steel. And, it's not necessarily about that. It's about what people are trying to convey and what they're trying to connect you to and what sort of feelings or experiences that they're trying to touch on. So for me, it ultimately came down to the circumstances surrounding the songs. So, we have We have a largely hip hop influenced score to this show, but also there are characters who made more sense to be singing in like a 90s country style, sort of that more upbeat style. And then there are other moments where people are fighting, and that needed something more aggressive. So I think ultimately it just came down to what fit in the moment, and I'm not closed off to almost any genre in any way. Like I like a people say, oh, I like everything, but I do generally like anything that like kind of moves me, whether that's electronic music, whether it's country, whether it's punk rock, whether it's metal, whether it's something else entirely, symphony orchestras, that sort of thing. Yeah, it ultimately comes down to just the feeling that we're trying to convey, especially when it comes to the musical.
How did you hook up with Genevieve Adams?
Actually, Rob is the reason that I hooked up with her. He knew her from, working in similar circles, and me being new to the whole like professional theater world, I told him straight away that that was going to be my weakness, is that I'm like I don't know how to write well for theater, and how to like, so he having all of the confidence that he had in me was like, you know what, I've got this woman who's incredible. She's done these really fantastic works with like Stratford and in theaters in the city and all this. And so he set up a meeting between us. We got breakfast together, the three of us, one morning back in 2022 or tw beginning of 2023. And yeah, we just jived so well together. Like we're into similar stuff outside of theater. Like we watch a lot of the same TV, which was really nice. And we're both really big into story-driven experiences and that sort of thing. So and her being a parent of young kids, and me being a first-time parent, and it just like we really clicked together well. Like our personalities jive really well, especially in when it came to actually sitting down and getting real work done. So
Now, collaboration can be challenging at times. How did you resolve artistic differences?
yeah, I mean, honestly, with Genevieve in particular, like it didn't really always feel like there were creative differences. It was more a matter of I've gotten to a point in my life where I'm trying to prioritize listening rather than proving my point, especially when it comes to creative things and things that I feel strongly about. So with this show, it was a matter of, if something felt wrong, it wasn't a matter of being declarative about it. It was a matter of being inquisitive about it. You hear that quote all the time, be curious, not judgmental. So I definitely had moments. Like, I'm not saying that there weren't any moments where there were differences, but it was a matter of, hey, what is the reasoning for this, or what, like, how did we come to this conclusion about a thing? And then it was a matter of listening to the explanation and then asking further questions, and ultimately it would come to either, oh, I didn't realize that that was why, or oh, that does make sense to me, or it would be a matter of first saying, oh, actually, you know what, you're right, this is inconsistent, and we need to iron out this wrinkle. But either way, it was, I would be hard pressed to find a time where we completely didn't agree on any one thing. And I'm at the point now where it's the same thing watching these guys work at the theater on creating, like bringing the show to life. It's like if I'm inquisitive about a thing, chances are I'm going to learn and agree with whatever the answer is, rather than saying, oh, I don't like this, or oh, that's not right.
I'm curious. Thomas Wolfe wrote a famous novel, You Can't Go Home Again. What does homecoming mean to you?
So in the context of the show. Like, I wrote this show shortly after moving back to Alderville First Nation, after having spent the majority of the pandemic living in Cobourg, and living in Toronto prior to that. And it was the whole idea of home to me is like, home is definitely what you make of it. So, I've always found a way to be comfortable, and like there's, it could be said that this place has become a home to me. But it's home to me is a place in general, like generally speaking, home is a place where, you can find your values are taken care of or answered for, and you have that sense of belonging, and you don't necessarily just fit in. You have a place, and especially like that, I say that specifically in regards to here at the theater, where I definitely had my own anxieties about not belonging or sticking out too much in the room, or being a hindrance to the process or anything like that. And it's no one here has ever made me feel that way. It's definitely been like a, hey, like, so nice to see you, like, so happy that you're here. And all of the cast have said to me, like, this the show is fantastic. I really feel comfortable in this. And so home is also in that regard a place of give and take. It's you aren't just being provided for. You have this purpose to provide as well. And so I think, home and community to me are so tightly interconnected in terms of, what they mean and what they do.
What is the significance then of personal history and identity to you?
In regards to my own career, I mean, for me, personal identity is just the foundation. And but I think in terms of the show, like our main character of our show, Destin, played by John Walmsley, his sense of home is definitely damaged, I think. And I think that comes from a personal place, because I spent a long time in that sort of like pop punk mindset of like, I need to get out of my hometown. If I'm stuck in my hometown, I'm gonna be a loser, or I'm gonna, let people, like, I'm gonna disappoint everybody, and that sort of thing. But personal identity and home are it's the foundation upon which you do everything, I think. And I think especially as being First Nations and being Indigenous, like I definitely feel as if the home that I came from, like the show itself, would not be possible without the home that I came from, because Alderville, as is sort of geographically in the middle of everything. It's a place that you stop in on your way to something else, and that was always kind of where I felt myself to be, in terms of my relationships, in terms of my, like, the things that I could provide for others and for my community. And especially when I got into music, I definitely felt a struggle to find my roots in any particular place, because, I've had people say, "Oh, welcome Cale Crowe from Cobourg, Ontario. Welcome Cale Crowe from Peterborough, from Port Hope, from Oshawa." And so, this is, like, to me, this creative project is the first time in a long time that I've said, like, "Welcome Cale Crowe from Alderville First Nation." And this show has really helped reinvigorate that sense of pride in my community that was lost for a long time.
Good stories are born out of personal experience. It's the way that they are able to feel authentic, both for the artist and the audience. What people in the community did you draw upon to create your characters?
The characters in our show were largely based on people that I had interacted with over the course of my young life. A lot of the friends that Destin has are based on sort of amalgamations of people, His social circle is a lot smaller than mine, so some of the characters are combinations of people. Folks from back home that come to see this show, some of them are definitely going to be like, "Is this play about us?" But yeah, there's a few other there's a few other people that I drew inspiration from, community pillars, people that worked in certain aspects of our local administration, like chief and council, that sort of thing. My own parents, my sister, my like it's definitely anyone who knows me personally and intimately is going to come to this show and be like, "Oh, that's this person, that's that person," that sort of thing. But in a less literal sense, it's definitely a show where when I create stuff, like when I create music or when I create this show, I definitely struggled at the beginning with like, well, what is it that I have to say, or what is it that I have that can't be said by someone else? And this show is definitely an example of like characters and personalities that are unique to my experience, that also at the same time made me realize like, no, like you're not alone in that regard either. Like people are gonna see this show and see themselves in these characters 100%. And so it is that balance and that tandem of like what sets you apart and what makes you alike, both in terms of interpersonal and also depictions of res life from our perspective versus other people, like versus the perspective other people might have. So but in terms of like overarching relationships, yeah, this show definitely started off feeling very unique to me.
Alderville community keeps very much unto itself. What does it feel like to be bringing some aspects out into the larger public view?
I think it's honestly quite relieving to know that this perspective might be reflected upon, or like that people who know Alderville might see this and have an altered perspective on a place like Alderville, because the title Res Gas, it came out of a place of looking at what others see when they come to Alderville. They see cheap gas. They see at one point really cheap cigarettes. Now they see weed shops every 20 feet. Like it's one of those things where it's like this is supposed to be kind of lifting that veil in a good way. And I don't want I we can't help that people from Alderville may feel like the curtain is being drawn back on them while they're in the shower, but it is a matter of it's there is no art without vulnerability, and there is no opening of that and changing of that perspective without that vulnerability. And I think what our show does is, without making it too serious, without making it too dramatic or based in sort of cultural trauma, what our show does really well is that it sort of lifts that, makes a big spectacle of, "Hey, we're just like you."
I'd like to explore that a little bit more. How does this music speak to Indigenous identity?
Yeah, so I mean the music in our show was definitely a matter of blending elements of sort of the soundtrack to my formative years. And so it's not necessarily I don't want people coming in thinking, "Oh, it's just going to be the hand drum or the big drum and powwow singing throughout the whole thing." We certainly have elements of that, but it's more a sense of, like what it's like on the res in the late 90s, early 2000s, because our setting, the gas bar restaurant that this show takes place in, it is a time capsule of this space. Like it hasn't changed in 30 years, and I wanted the music for this to be more reflective of me as a person rather than me as a culture.
Is there anything about this musical that is directed more locally or more universally in terms of its message about Indigenous life and Indigenous issues?
Yeah, I think it's meant to be sort of our show was meant to be sort of a modern perspective on personal Indigenous issues. So, you know, the idea that being born on a res means that you're stuck there, rather than being born on a res means that you have these duties and privileges to carry on these good ways in life. And I think, you know, one of the, I don't want to spoil the show, and I don't want to say that we have any particular answers, but one of the questions that we wanted to pose with this show is like what does it mean for Indigenous people to be home? And, you know, us being such a displaced people, it's, you know, it is a matter of like, you know, what is home? How do we make that here and now, rather than, you know, trying to undo things that used to be? And I really wanted, the main goal when Rob approached me to do this 2 years ago was I didn't want to come from a place of creating what we in the business like to call trauma porn, which is basically just over gratuitous depictions of, you know, the Catholic nuns beating the Indigenous students. You know, like there is obviously much need of those things, and more people need to be aware of these issues. But my priority was always, let's create a show that rounds out the experience where people who are Indigenous can look at the show and be like, yeah, that was really funny. That was really, really lighthearted. That was really realistic, because we aren't, you know, Indigenous people don't just exist to remind settlers of the atrocities, you know, of yester millennia. You know, like we exist here and now. We exist in a forward motion, and we are here to celebrate ourselves and celebrate each other, and sort of move forward in a good way, rather than be constantly looking over our shoulder at the past.
So what do you hope then is the takeaway for the audience?
I think the takeaway in general for the audience, whether they're Indigenous or not, should just be, you know, like just be in the here and now, and be someone that contributes, and home isn't just, you know, home is what you make it, but home is just as much give as it is take, like I said. And you know, it's not always what is the line? Ask not what your local gas station can do for you, but what you can do for it, that sort of thing. And so it is a matter of like, a lot of the things that our hero faces in our show is, you know, like, you've been gone for so long, you think you're so much better than us. You know, he's not even necessarily a hero. He's got a lot of work to do in order to place himself in that position. And you know, the audience will just have to wait and see how that pans out.
What's on the horizon for you?
More tunes, hopefully. I think for me personally, you know, I put out a new record back in almost a year ago now. And the plan was to you know, hit the ground running with that. And then with this show, I kind of put that all sort of on the back burner for a little bit. And once the show comes out, and once we all say our goodbyes and part ways, it's right back into that. It's writing for new projects. It's booking potentially a tour for the next spring. And yeah, it's going to be a really good time and place to be me, I guess. But yeah, I definitely, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm trying to take stock of the here and now as much as I can, because I know it's just going to fly by. But once all this is over, it's going to be a really good state for me to be in, to look forward.
Gail Crow, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
That was musician Gail Crow. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.